Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, the family is at the heart of our communities and our nation. When the family is strong, so is our nation. But when a family is weak, our country seems to start imploding from within. This is a precarious battle that we all face. And as believers, we know that by building God-led families, we will realize more peace and more stability, not only in our lives, but in the culture on the whole. Today's guest here on Family Talk is Dr. Ben Carson, and he'll be discussing his brand new book, The Perilous Fight, with our own Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Carson is a retired neurosurgeon who spent over 2 decades in various positions at Johns Hopkins Hospital. When, at the age of 33, he became the youngest major division director in the hospital's history. And then, in 2016, Dr. Carson was a candidate for President of the United States. And from 2017 to 2021, he served as the United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. Now let's join Dr. James Dobson and his guest, Dr. Ben Carson, for more of their conversation right now on Family Talk.
Well, let's talk about your book. I'm excited about this because it deals with an issue that I'm so deeply concerned about. I really believe that America is not going to survive, or at least not the way it was designed, if we go down the path that we're presently treading.
That's exactly right. And the reason I wrote the book is I noticed that we were going down a very dangerous path, a path that many other countries have gone down, and they have not survived intact as a result of it. And there are those who want to fundamentally change this country and move us to a more Marxist type of ideology. Yeah. But they know they cannot overcome us militarily. So they have to overcome us from within. Jesus said it best, the house divided against itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln repeated it.
Yeah, he did.
How do you divide that house? How do you divide that very strong nation like ours? You go to its very foundation. And what is its foundation? The family. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the values are passed on. That's where children learn to respect others and other people's ideals. That's where they get their morality from. And if you can erode that, it doesn't take long for it to have a dramatic impact on the society. Witness what's happening in our colleges today and how young people who've grown up at a time when they spent much more time with social media and staring at a screen on their iPhone than they did with their parents and with their families. And also you look at the dissolution of the family. It really started to become very easy in the 60s with no-fault divorce. And that doesn't take into account the fact that if you make divorce real easy, a lot of people are going to take that avenue. But you take two people and you put them together after they've grown up in different environments, there's going to be friction. It's like rubbing two pieces of sandpaper together. But if you keep rubbing them, they become smooth. You got to stay in there long enough for them to be smooth. And, you know, we're not preaching that anymore. And we are teaching people it's about me and it's about how I feel and what's good for me. That is not conducive to strong family life. And the interesting thing is you look at the findings of the liberal think tanks and the conservative think tanks, they all show the same thing, that children raised in the traditional nuclear family do better. They do better financially. They do better in terms of staying out of trouble with the law and in terms of their contributions to society. Everything is better. And there's really no controversy about that.
Has it broken your heart as it is mine in recent days where all of this violence has occurred on the campuses, a hatred of each other?
Yes.
And every evil.
Interestingly enough, when you look at the congressional record, January the 10th, 1963, Congressman Herlong of Florida read into the record the 45 goals of communists in America. One of them, number 19, was to foment violent riots by the young people in favor of the radical left's agenda. So these things have been going on for a long time. It is not of recent origin. It's been manifested recently because the opportunity has presented itself. It's a real issue. Our young people can be saved, and they may well be the solution to our problem. I've been going to a lot of universities lately with Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization.
Yes.
And the student response has been just amazing. We've had to turn hundreds of students away. They can't get them into the auditoriums. They understand that the pathway that we're on does not bode well for their future. And they're looking for solutions, and that may well be what saves us.
You have an interesting illustration in your book. It's on page 17. I wrote it down because I want to remember it. And it had to do with the Brookings Institute.
On poverty. And
yes,
they said that there were a few things that you could do that would reduce the rate of poverty to 2% or less. And that was finish high school, so important to get that basic education. Wait until you're married to have children and get a job.
If you do those three things, you almost never face poverty.
That's exactly right. And there was a time in our country where that wasn't news. Now it is. People say, oh, really? It seems like we've lost our common sense. And that is very disturbing. But the Brookings Institution, also working with Princeton University, did a study, I think it's on page 47 of the book, in which they looked at states that were doing the best in terms of wealth, in terms of upward mobility, in terms of childhood poverty, in terms of crime. And they found that the states that had the highest ratio of traditional nuclear families were the ones with the greatest wealth, the least amount of poverty, the greatest amount of opportunities, and the least amount of crime.
And yet that's not the direction we're going.
And what we need to do, if we really cared about our country and our nation, is we need to be looking at these studies and saying, are our policies helping or hurting in relationship to the things that we desire to happen for the population? And we unfortunately aren't doing that today. We have people saying, what's good for my party and what gives me more power, rather than what's good for the people? And the people are really the source of correction, because our founders knew that we would reach this point because they studied every government system in the world. And they discovered that they all move in the same direction: grow, infiltrate, and dominate. No matter how they start, no matter what their lofty ideals are, that's what governments do. And it's not because they're bad. It's because that's what they do. Just like lions kill lambs. Why do they do that? Not because they're bad animals, but they do it because they're lions. So they had to give us a system that would prevent the government from doing that to our people. And that's how we got our Constitution. But you have to pay attention to it, because even with the Constitution in place, you can see the forces that are trying to grow and infiltrate and dominate the people, and trying to give us mandates and telling us you must drive this kind of car and you must do this and you must do that. That was never the intention. And the power to change it lies in the hands of the people. They have to learn how to use that power appropriately. And that's another purpose of the book. We talk about that. But using the vote appropriately, instead of just looking for the name that looks familiar, why not do a little bit of homework and figure out who these people are and whether they, in fact, are the people who represent you and your ideals. That would make a huge difference.
Do you have hope for America?
I have a lot of hope for America. And if God was willing to save Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 people, we should be okay.
What is the source of that hope then?
Well, that hope is our faith. You know, think about it. Our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, talks about certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator, aka God. Only God gives us the rights. Only He has the right to take them away. Not some government or government official. We need to recognize that and act accordingly. And I think we're getting there. I think it's always darkest before the dawn. And sometimes it has to be pretty dark before people can see the light. But I think the light is there. I think people are seeing it and they're realizing that the pathway that we're on is a destructive pathway. A lot of the recent polling has shown that 70% of the people think we're moving in the wrong direction. That's a huge number. And all we have to do, I think, is provide the right kind of leadership now.
You know, Doc, you're younger than I am, and I was in graduate school working on a doctorate in the late 60s. When everything came apart, like we're seeing to some degree today.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart because I was witnessing a change in culture that I knew was going to have radical consequences for us. Mm-hmm. In fact, I wrote my first book, Dare to Discipline, in response to what was going on there at that time.
Yeah, my wife read that book to our kids as they were growing up.
Read Dare to Discipline.
Yes.
No kidding.
Absolutely. And it was a wise move because when they felt like doing something, they would hearken back to what you said in the book.
My goodness.
It was very good. My wife was a voracious reader, a Yale graduate, a graduate of Johns Hopkins, master's degree. But she felt that her greatest challenge and reward was raising our children. And she did a splendid job.
How many children do you have?
Three sons. My three sons. And they all got married in 2011. And between them, we have eight grandchildren.
That must be a great thrill to you.
It's wonderful. But it's also the reason that I stay involved, because what kind of life are they going to have if our country continues down this road?
What is your greatest concern for America today?
Making enemies of each other, allowing ourselves to be divided on the basis of race, age, income, gender, political affiliation, religion, dividing everybody up to the point where we hate each other. And I have an acrostic that I use frequently. It's called WANE, W-A-N-E. We've allowed hatred and division to wax for a long time. Now it's time for it to wane. And that stands for We Are Not Enemies, WANE. That's what we need to be doing. And if we don't do that, we will certainly be destroyed.
I'm interested in the title of your book, The Perilous Fight: Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family.
Well, the reason I call it The Perilous Fight is because this country was born in the crucible of conflict. We weren't given our freedom. We had to fight for it, not only during the Revolutionary War, but during the War of 1812, when we almost got recaptured by Great Britain. And we're at a precipice like that currently also. Which way are we going to go as a country? Are we going to be a country that's about the people, And it's about our faith and about our sense of community and togetherness? Or are we going to allow ourselves to be manipulated into thinking that we're enemies and rip ourselves apart?
That's why you call it a culture war?
Definitely a culture war. You know, our faith and our families are the basis of our identity. And, you know, when ISIS comes in and they conquer a place, what do? They get rid of your identity. They get rid of your history so that they can replace it with what they want you to believe. And what do Marxists always do? They dumb down the population.
Yeah.
Because people who are dumbed down are much easier to manipulate. And you've probably noticed on the television when they have those man on the street interviews and they ask people the simplest questions. You know, who was the first president? What countries border America? How many branches of government are there? How many Supreme Court? They have no idea. They have no clue.
You know, I've watched those programs and I've seen other people laugh. It's not a laughing matter to me.
No.
It's serious and it's disaster.
It's very serious. And it's the precursor to manipulation and domination. And it always occurs before countries become socialist and communist. And that's why I put so much emphasis on education, upon true education, not upon, you know, learning about critical race theory and what pronouns you should use. I'm talking about American history, world history, mathematics, science, being able to express yourself appropriately, having perspective on what's gone on in the world, true education. And if you really want to be impressed, there was a time when we really, in this country, emphasized education. I think it had a lot to do with our success. Go back and look at a sixth grade exit exam from 150 to 200 years ago. It will blow your mind. And people today just don't know that stuff anymore.
How did your mother keep you from being wounded and destroyed by racism?
Well, she always emphasized that people are people. And she never bought into, you know, the concept that this group of people is bad and this group of people is good. Individuals in different groups are good and bad, but not the whole groups.
Was she angry about what the culture tried to do to her and her children?
Not really. I mean, she was not naive. She understood what was going on. I remember when we went to Tennessee when I was 6 years old, and there were whites only and color only signs up. You know, she made sure that we understood what that meant. Said it won't be like that when you go back to Detroit. And we always talked about them, made sure that we understood them. And that way you kind of stay out of trouble, navigate your way, and you can be a light fixture wherever you go. Did we run into people who were racist? Absolutely, we did. But how do you treat those people? And we found that when you treat those people with respect and kindness, it has a profound ameliorating effect on them. I remember at one point, this is after I was an adult, grew up, had a family, we bought a farm in a rural area of Maryland that was known for Ku Klux Klan rallies and things like that. And in fact, one of the neighbors immediately put up a Confederate flag when we moved in. And all the other neighbors put up American flags, and he took it down. And we were very gracious and kind to him. They subsequently became friends of ours.
That's the bottom line of your book, isn't it?
That's what it's all about. Know what's going on. Don't go into this with your eyes closed. And then wake up surprised and say, oh, how did this happen? It's happening right before our eyes, and we all can play a part in reversing the downfall.
Dr. Carson, thank you for being our guest today. I appreciate so much what you are doing in the cause of Christ. And it's just a great honor to have you here, as I said at the beginning of the program.
Well, thank you for having me. And as I said during the program, your writings were a big part of my kids growing up. They've all turned out to be very successful, and I want to thank you for that. Always inspired after talking to you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Dr. Ben Carson here on Family Talk, talking about Dr. Carson's brand new book, The Perilous Fight. If you'd like more information about the book and also information about his ministry, you can find it online at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Now, this week is a monumental week here on Family Talk because of what we've seen in the Biden administration aiming at Christians and Americans in general, but Christians in particular. And Dr. Dobson has joined forces with Gary Bauer and our own President Joe Warsak to draft a letter that addresses some of these issues. Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, joins me right now. And Gary, let's talk about the importance for this letter. Why was it so important for you and Dr. and Joe to put this letter together right now as we're warming up in the campaign election season?
First of all, it's good to be with you, Roger. It hit Dr. Dobson and I and others that, if we look at the big picture here, it's horrible. I mean, yes, there are these individual battles, but there is an agenda being promoted in Washington, D.C. that is anti-family, anti-religious liberty, anti-life at its core, and it's coming out of literally every one of the federal government agencies, and sadly, it's all being directed and promoted out of the White House by the president. Now, we just thought that at this critical time in our country, a lot of divisions, it was absolutely essential as Americans to let the president know why we are so upset about the direction of the country. So we've looked at a whole panorama of issues, including foreign policy, the economy, and so forth, but we really zeroed in on these constitutional rights that are so precious to us, and we hope to everybody, and we're hoping to get a whole lot of people to sign this letter with us and to respectfully send it to the president for his consideration.
Well, it's easy to find this letter. We've posted it at drjamesdobson.org/Biden open letter. And this is a letter you could read that Gary was talking about that talks about these policy issues. We're not attacking the president personally, but rather attacking all of these policy issues, nearly 30 of them. And each of them, Gary, I was impressed with the fact that you and Doctor put together this list with citations, with actual examples of each and every one of these violations here to bring them to the attention of the White House and say, look, we're asking you to reverse course. What you're doing here, you openly campaigned in 2020 as the guy who was going to bring America together, and everything you're doing now is driving us further apart.
Well, that's a great summary. You know, the citations, Roger, are absolutely necessary because as we've seen in recent years, if you speak truth to power, it's immediately labeled misinformation.
Right.
When in fact, it is the exact opposite. So we wanted to do our homework and we've done that. But, you know, quite frankly, it wasn't that hard because every day there's articles, there's commentary, there's announcements coming from various government agencies, and they almost always have the same themes, which I alluded to earlier. They go to religious liberty, for example. And let me just mention one thing. People have probably heard of conscience rights. That is, if you are a Christian in this country, you can't be forced to do something in your employment or in your personal life or in your home or whatever that is contrary to the teachings of your faith.
Amen.
And we're finding that this administration across the board is violating that. And one example is they're trying to force Christian doctors who are morally opposed to abortion to be involved in the act of performing an abortion or providing as a nurse the backup to that abortion. That should never happen in the United States. Wherever you are on the issue, nobody, I would hope, is forcing somebody to take an innocent human life.
This is a powerful instrument, and it's a great tool that you can use not only for your own edification, but also to make Washington, D.C. aware of the fact that we are paying attention and they are on notice right now when it comes to this election 2024. The open letter to President Joe Biden, drafted by Dr. James Dobson, Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dobson Policy Institute, and Joe Borsak, who's the President of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. You can find this letter when you go to drjamesdobson.org/Biden open letter. That's drjamesdobson.org/Biden open letter. Read it, put your name on it, sign it, and then forward it to your friends so that you have the information that you need to be a better equipped and informed citizen. Gary, thank you for joining us here at the end of today's program today.
Great to be with you all.
And be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.